Have you had a happier Monday?
Well, that will be determined by which country you support, which team you support. And if you watched Bafana Bafana 10 p.m. yesterday, ended at 5 to 12, you'll be as happy as everyone here, happy as everyone listening. Good day, welcome to News 24 and AR Live Audio Services. Yes, as I say yes again, I'll say yes again, and I'll say yes, yes again. It is a pro Bafana day, happiness from Bafana, as we're talking about what was a comfortably dismissive performance, a comfortably accurate performance from Bafana Bafana. My name is Kanye Sotwaku, News 24 Senior Sports Reporter, and today I've got Njabulo Ngidi, I've got Tashrik Vadin. Njabulo here hasn't got second location eyes. I know Tashrik had a very big explaining the fatigue, but you know, it's kind of a joyous fatigue where you realize that we witnessed something that happened 1998. That is 26 years ago. That's a long time. Chubbs.
Yeah, who needs sleep when Bafana that great? I mean, that performance was sublime. I think it was one of the team's best performances around AFCON. Even the scoreline sort of shows that. But I think what makes it even more important is it's not just the manner in terms of winning, but it's being clinical. Bafana took almost every chance that they created. They hardly gave Namibia a sniff. I think there was one major scare when Shalulile broke in the first half. But I think the professionalism and to put that emphatic display. And because also when Bafana is 3-0 up going to halftime, you think that the second half they're going to ease things up. But they still fought and they still searched for the win. And I think that in terms of the attitude, I think for me that's the biggest thing to take from that game. They had a really great attitude, and I think the scoreline reflected that.
Tashrik, let me bring you in. What did you make of that four-star performance?
I thought it was brilliant, but much like Hugo Bruce, I think it's also important to keep our feet firmly on the ground. The job is certainly not done yet, and it's a long road to get to the AFCON final, which I hope it's still possible to achieve. Although, you know, the doubters and critics will be louder as ever on a day like this. I thought it was a performance that I can only echo to what Njabulo has said already. It was clinical, something that Bafana is not, you know, full of abundance in when it comes to, you know, the final third and finishing off those chances. But at the same time, it's when errors were made defensively and in midfield in moments is that the recovery was quick as possible as well. And that's something that we did not have in our previous match against Mali, where the likes of Siyanda Tolu made mistakes, Spepe as well. And then we were often, you know, how can I say, punished in that sense. So all in all, a victory. But the road is long, let me put it in that sense.
You mentioned the road is long, and a key thread from what Njabulo said and what Chief said is mental strength. How important was it for Bafana to bounce back in the manner in which they did? Because, I mean, again, Bafana have not won an opening game at AFCON since 2004, so not getting off to a good start is nothing new for them. But they haven't bounced back. I remember even the 2019 AFCON, they still looked very shaky in the second game. They only really came to life in that last 16 game against Egypt, but they bounced back almost immediately. How impressive was that mental bounce back from them?
Yes, it's certainly the work, I guess, and the words that were spoken within the camp when within training one can expect the mental fortitude to, you know, go down to a Mali side that only put in a great second half performance, and then to do what they did against Namibia and just come in with a different kind of attitude. It's almost as if they knew that all is possible if they just tick the right boxes in terms of what Hugo Bruce wanted them to achieve in that game, and that is to be in the right positions at the right time, to make the correct decisions, and when an error is made, that react as quickly as possible, which they did. And what I really liked is that I know it was mentioned often by analysts that were covering the Bafana game, but I really liked what Percy Tau did, that he took control of, you know, that his own fate in terms of, you know, getting over that bogey where he missed a penalty last week emphatically, you know, just skying the ball into the nether regions, and you know, finding the target, I guess, on the night where it mattered most, I guess, like somewhat 17 minutes into the first half, and that set the tone for the flurry of goals to follow suit. Yeah. And well taken goals, by the way, if I could add that.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, Namibia wasn't as highly technically advanced as Bafana was in certain aspects, but that carried Bafana through the mental fortitude and to rely on their technical abilities to get the betterment of Namibia.
Thank you very much, Tash. Jabs, was it a case of here we go again for Namibia? Because they've always felt like the little brothers, and Bafana have always tended to just stick it to them in tournament football, even when they played at the 2019 AFCON, where Namibia just felt that they got into the game, Bongani Zungu scored that goal, and they pretty much just settled things and put them in their place. Is it also a mental thing for Namibia where they've got a significant number of their players playing in South Africa and they compete well against them at league level, but when it comes to national team level, they just become a distant second best?
I think in that game they were just outclassed. I mean, it's 2 points that I raised. I think the one, in terms of people who are saying, but it's just Namibia, it's important that this is a tournament where Cape Verde topped their group.
Yeah.
It's a tournament where Equatorial Guinea topped a group that has Cameroon and the host, Ivory Coast. So it's very important to understand that, I mean, to look at how the so-called minnows have really shown in this tournament. Even Mozambique pushed Egypt to the limit.
Yes.
So win and to win emphatically like that is massive. But I think also with Namibia is that that's the one game that both teams really looked into. Namibia, that's the one that they looked in terms of getting the maximum points.
Yes.
Beating Tunisia is not something that they were really expecting. They really felt that this is the time where they could beat Bafana. They've got a team that has been together since the 2015 COSAFA.
Yes.
I mean, Hoto was there, Shalulile.
He was magnificent, yeah. Hoto.
So they've been together for a long time, longer than the current Bafana team. So on paper and in terms of how things were, everything favoured Namibia to get a positive result.
Yes.
I think Bafana just outclassed them and came out with a better game plan and better drive than them, because once we went 1-0 up, it stopped being a contest, really. I think that's when they're like, because they genuinely felt that this is the game that they could win. Mm. And when they were on the back foot, they didn't know how to respond, and like, oh crap, this is it again. And then they just couldn't find the way to pick themselves up, because they were just so confident. I think the performance of Namibia reminded me a lot of Bafana. When they go into these matches where there's so much expectation and everything leading up to it points to a Bafana win, where
it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, nothing just works and they don't show up. So I think that the South African-based players have picked up a lot of bad habits too in their time in South Africa.
You know, you mentioned the goal scoring in particular. How painful is a game of football where at every turn an opportunity is missed and a goal is scored? It happened in the South Africa game where from that Percy Tau missed penalties, South Africa didn't have a goal scoring opportunity from the 42nd minute until the 92nd minute. Whereas from where Shalulile missed that chance, South Africa got the penalty. And then Namibia missed another chance, South Africa then scored. And then Namibia missed another chance, and then South Africa went back. So South Africa effectively only had two clear goal scoring chances, and they came back with three goals.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that Bafana have lacked for the longest time, being efficient, because Bafana always create chances. And when you look at it, Bafana actually created more chances in the first half against Mali than they did against Namibia. But the difference is that here they were clinical.
Yes.
And it's something that if Bafana were to be clinical, they would be consistently among the best teams in the continent.
Yes.
And would even be regulars at the World Cup, because the only thing that's holding Bafana back is not being efficient. Because I think when you look at the football, we really struggle teams. We give them a hard time. even Ivory Coast, when we played them in their own backyard, which was one of the preparation games for the tournament, where they needed to win to get everyone to buy into and sort of being in a positive mindset.
Yes.
And they struggled. Even a draw felt like a loss because of how dominant Bafana had been. So they are a team that creates chances and really sort of put their opponent on the back foot. But because of their lack of being clinical,
in front of goal,
I think that's been their biggest downfall. And I think if they can have improve on that, then Bafana would go far.
That's true. Tashrik, over to you and your favorite topic, VAR. why is it working so well in AFCON? And when you just take a squeeze to the EPL, which is now taking a proper backseat, why is it working well in AFCON and still a topic of major debate in Europe?
That's a conversation that I actually had with someone over the weekend while we were watching the game. It's like, the VAR has been very efficient and well executed. Although sometimes I know that goal that Percy Tau scored from the penalty spot, that VAR incident in particular took quite a minute, to be honest with you. But I guess it's still in a work in progress in terms of you know, shortening the time between going to the VAR and making a decision. One has to really think about why it's working so efficiently on the continent in Africa as compared to what is happening in the English Premiership. Because if I look at that penalty last night, it could have easily not be, have been given. But at the same time, ball did hit hand, whether it was accidental, whether it was, whether it was accidental or whether it was, intentional, one has to make a decision, you know, as a referee or one that is viewing that, how we go about, you know, determining what's happening in Europe, specifically England in particular, and compare VAR as to what is happening in AFCON, is that those small margins in terms of, either deception or the idea of whether it's a foul or not, or whether it's a handball or not, as slim pickings at the end of the day.
Yes.
But it makes you, but Kaniso, it does really make you think though, eh? Like what's really happening in England, where if we watch a game, it's like, it's clearly a foul. And then sometimes it's not even given. It's clearly a handball. I mean, case in point that Odegaard handball against Mohamed Salah when Arsenal and Liverpool took on one another. That was clearly a handball. When I guess Odegaard was trying to find his balance, but he accidentally hit the ball. People will say that. And but ball hit the hand at the end of the day, and it should have been a foul.
Yes.
It should have been at least a free kick or a penalty, depending on where that action was taking place. So however we move forward from here, it's going to be interesting. But congratulations to Cap for I guess, showcasing what VAR can be if the right decisions have been made.
England must swallow their pride and come and learn from the best.
That is true, because it leads me to my next question, Tash, just to close off the VAR topic. Is it a case of, because of African referees have to make decisions based on what they see 95% of the time, and they only have to deal with VAR at tournaments, does it make their decision-making ever so better? Because at the end of the day now, you may find that with a lot of European referees, I mean, I think it's starting to creep into, it's become a big problem in rugby, where now referees are unable to make or incapable of making decisions based on the fact that they know that they could be second-guessed by VAR, whereas African referees, because of them having to deal with on-the-spot matters week in, week out, dealing with VAR, is that they will rather make the decision now and be happy to be corrected by VAR, in the same way umpires in cricket are happy to make a decision and let DRS be the arbiter of whether they are right or wrong.
Yeah, it's like, you know what they say, eat now and ask questions later, basically, in terms of, if I could put it in that aspect. So make the decision and get it over and done with. But also looking at it, I guess, quite meticulously and dissecting every incident for what it is. Not for what the situation is, but for what the incident is. at that stage. And there's been, and I feel like there hasn't been any controversial decision at AFCON as compared to, you know, if we were to cast an eye over in Europe and specifically Premier League, there will always be some kind of question about when it comes to decision. Even, I guess, last night's one, in particular, some people would suggest whether it was handball or not, or whether it was deliberate or not, if I let me rather say that. Because there has been cases where if your body structure and your positioning is tightly knit, and if it was to go against your hand, and it wouldn't have been a foul. But because he was such in an awkward position that allowed the referee to question and ask the questions like, why is his hand there? His hand doesn't necessarily need
Repeat
to be
that part
there.
Again? Repeat that part again? Why was his hand?
Yeah, why was his hand there when his hand didn't... That, why was his hand or his arm there in that position that didn't really need to be there in last night's case, if I could put that. The same was, I mean, where we look at the Nigeria penalty where Osimhen was kicked. The same could be said for the penalty that Egypt, where the player, the defender was kicked as well. It's all about that timing. And I guess football has become such a space where, as soon as we see a certain area, we want to go to VAR. And fortunately enough, in Bafana's case, it has come to our rescue last night, to kind of set the tone for us to get the goal rush going.
That is also true. Jobs, you need to make a point.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I think at times we don't give ourselves credit when we do well.
Yeah.
I think African referees are very good.
Yes.
Because of the environment and the hostile nature of managing continental games, whether it's international games or Champions League, where there are places where it's like it's a fortress, you don't get out. In Lubumbashi, for instance, calling against TP Mazembe takes massive balls. So would be going to Morocco, calling against Wydad and Casablanca.
Yep.
In Egypt, I mean, you look at the reaction. You look at how Morocco, in that game against DRC, it takes a special referee to be able to manage those games. And in some of the referees that we have in the continent, Okasama, even Gomes, I mean, the final where he at some point wanted to give Salah the card. And I think that's the reason why I think VAR has worked so well in this level is because of how decisive referees in the continent are.
Yes.
They know that they have to live and die by the decisions they make and also how that impacts the fans. And I think what has helped them in this is that they in an environment where they make those key decisions and make them fast, but also now have an avenue where there isn't really room to critique, or when they leave the game, people are hanging out and wanting to stop them. What if, whatever reasons, I think the VAR has emboldened African referees, and that's why it worked so better here. Whereas in the EPL, VAR is a crutch.
Yes.
No one makes a decision until the computer people have checked it.
Yes.
And they're so reliant on it that referee, I don't think they empowered or even... I'm in charge of the game now, and it's become a farce. Whereas here, it's not really a crutch, but it's a tool to enhance referees who are very good at this level.
And you'd find that with referees now making decisions in front of 14,000 people, it's easier than making them in front of 40,000 people in Casablanca, which makes life, as you rightly say, makes life easier for them because they're accustomed to far more hostile environments. Talking of being decisive, Themba Zwane and the Sundown spine. That was a decisive selection movement from Hugo Pros, where he initially did not quite believe in picking a lot of Sundowns players, Themba Zwane in particular. But he threw his lot in with 8 Sundown starters. And I'll go to Tash for the defensive issues. But with this particular one, from an attacking perspective, especially down the right-hand side, actually down both flanks, it was like watching, for a lack of saying it, Sundowns in Bafana jerseys.
I was joking that the Zwane goal, I think it's the second one, was made in Klerkop. From Williams to Kekana, Morena, and then him. I think it's two things. I think because of how polarizing club football is in the country, that every decision is looked at club lines.
Yes.
It takes guts to go with a call like that and back it. Because there's no doubt in terms of the quality of the players that they do deserve to be in the team. Yes. But I think it also speaks of Themba Zwane. And if any other player would have been in his situation where the coach, without having seen you, really says you're too old, then like that's it. They would have reacted differently. It's so easy to talk and say, like, screw this guy, or even say, I'm not going to play for the national team again.
Yes.
But it speaks of Zwane's character in that he just knuckled down and worked hard, because there have been some moments where he dips, but because of how the standard is so high with him, that people tend to forget how good he is. I mean, Zwane is, I think, the most prolific South African player in the Champions League,
yeah,
in terms of goals that he scored. I think people tend to forget that because his game is not, it doesn't scream. Like, it's a very, like, subtle. And,
yes,
and you have to really follow and look at the nuances to appreciate him.
Yes.
And I think it showed in terms of his character that he's someone who prefers to let his work do the talking. And that's what exactly he did to get his place back in the team and even in the game against Namibia.
And Tash, you've always been the biggest advocate of Bafana's defensive issues, despite the Sundowns connection, the pack. I mean, I think Khumalo Mokigana was magnificent yesterday, but the defensive worries just seemingly don't go away. Tash, what did you make of not a new centre back pairing, but a new one at international level with Kekana and Mvala?
Yeah, I thought it worked well. One of the things about defending is that if you get the timing right of each challenge, and if you can react quickly, as I mentioned earlier, whenever there are errors made, and they sort of protected the likes of Aubrey and Mudau whenever there was, I guess, space on the left and the right flank. And because in moments, Namibia capitalized on Mudau and with Diva, you know, overlapping, yep, and flooding the midfield as well as the attacking sense, which would often leave, I guess, the blind side empty and full of space. And Mvala, who's technically a great midfielder, who's been, you know, shifted into the defense,
yes,
while as Kekana has been somewhat of a player that doesn't frequently, you know, play for Sundowns, depending on what Mokoena wants to do with that defense, as he's shifting and rotating as well at the same time. But what Kekana has and what I guess Kulu doesn't have is that pace and that strength, I guess, where he somehow outmuscled certain Namibian shirts and turned it into a tussle between, you know, offense and defense when it mattered most.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of calmness now. If when I saw, I guess, those five, if I could add Ronwin Williams into that pack as well, that defensive pack. And we mustn't be, I guess, we mustn't forget, and I want to stress this fact, that the likes of Lebogo Mokoena as well, who's like Evidence Mahopa, put in sort of like a silent killer performance against the Namibian side, you know, being sort of calm in midfield, but at the same time, slotting into defense,
yeah,
when that was needed. And especially that long range ball that he gifted Maseko for that fourth goal. Yeah. So, it's interesting to see what Bruce will do next, but I guess this is a great foundation for looking towards Tunisia on Wednesday evening.
Mm. And in Jabs, in closing, Evidence Mahopa, what did you make of him?
I think he put on a shift. It's selfless, because I think one of the challenges when you're a striker is that you are judged on scoring goals. But you also need someone who can create and move people around. And Bafana has a lot of players in terms of who are good with the ball and can move around. But in terms of being able to hold the ball and take away defenders so that you create space.
And
I think that's also the one, another thing that Bafana have lacked in the past in terms of a striker with aerial presence who grafts for the team. That's one of the things that Lebo Motiba did so well and why Baxter backed him even when people were calling for him. Because when you're playing in international football and in the continent, sometimes you have to play Route 1 football.
Yes.
And that's something that even Bruce mentioned that in the game against Mali, and even when we lost to Rwanda, we wanted to like all these nice touches and play it out and move. But when we didn't have, in terms of hoofing the ball when we're in trouble or getting someone who's going to be able to give us a breather. And that's what Makgopa did in terms of, even from defense, when things are tough, to just hoof that ball, knowing there's someone who can hold it and buy the team time to move back and also create space for the attackers. I think he was sensational. I think he was man of the match for me in terms of just the selflessness and the work that he did for the team, because it's rare where you get strikers who are not selfish.
Mm. Well, that's it for today. We'll meet again on Wednesday when we've got the big Tunisia clash to chew over. Thank you very much.